It's good to be able to come here this evening to worship God together again. And we're going to look this evening, starting out at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 8. Beginning at verse 8, it says, "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. I know in part, but then I shall, but then I shall know just as also I am known. For now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Sometimes 1 Corinthians 13 is called the great chapter on love, and it is. And it is certainly that. But there's another part of 1 Corinthians 13, and it has to do with what Paul calls the perfect thing. And there's confusion in the world, religious world, often concerning what Paul meant by that particular passage. We're going to look at it a little bit this evening. First of all, Paul was writing to people who had been had received the laying on of the apostles' hands, and many of them had miraculous gifts. And the miracles were promised and were given. You go back to Mark chapter chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, immediately after Jesus' giving of the Great Commission, it goes on to say, in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it says, "And these signs," and this is Jesus still speaking, "and these signs shall follow them who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, and they shall speak with new tongues. And they will take up serpents, and if they drink any," "anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Now, the signs, were the miracles that the apostles were able to work to prove that their message was from God. Now, that's why Jesus had miraculous gifts when he was upon the earth, so he could prove that it wasn't just man's word that he was bringing, but it was, in fact, God's word. So the purpose of the miracle was to prove the message of the word of God was, in fact, the word of God. That was the purpose of the miracle. There are several passages in the New Testament that tell us that. And in Acts chapter 2, we go over to Acts chapter 2. Of course, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he had just ascended back to the Father some 10 days earlier. And they were gathered together in Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound of from heaven as of a rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire and set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So these miracles were for the purpose of proving that this was God's word and God's will that was being delivered to them. Now, later on in Acts chapter 2, they asked the apostles, "Well, what does this mean?" They said, "We hear all of these ones speaking, they're all Galileans, and yet they're all speaking in these different languages, that and we hear God's message being spoken to us in that way." The Corinthian Christians, many of them had miraculous gifts, but they were very immature and unspiritual. And that's what Paul is talking about there. He talks about When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I acted like a child. I understood like a child. He says, but when I became grown up, when I became a man, I put away childish things. So they were still living in the childish way. The miraculous gifts they had ended up in dividing the church in many ways. They condoned and even encouraged immorality within the church. They filed lawsuits against each other, and the people of the church did, before the pagan courts, and they were condemned for doing that. And they selfishly used the miraculous gifts to flatter their own ego rather than to take care of each other and to take care of the work of the Lord. Well, Paul wrote chapters 12, 13, and 14 in 1 Corinthians to set straight what they were doing and what they should be doing and how they should be taking care of others with these miracles they had. And so Paul wrote to tell them how to properly use the things that they had been given. But he also said here in the passage we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we look there again. So Paul, writing, wants us to understand, as he did to them in particular, that there is going to come a time when these miraculous gifts would cease. And he says there in verse 9, for we know in part, and we know we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. The perfection, as we're going to see, is the completion of the message of God to man. And we're going to look at that for a few moments. And so when that perfect message, that complete message of God was delivered to man, there was no more necessity, once the miracles were done, to confirm the word of God, there's no more necessity to continue the miraculous gifts. And God took them out of the way. So we look at this, and we say, well, we might say, well, many people think miracles in the sense of the biblical miracles are still going today. The Bible says they're not. We're going to look at that this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. He says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, obviously, knowledge has not vanished away. We still have knowledge revealed to us in the Word of God. Love, of course, continues. But he says these things are going to be taken away. There's no miraculous gift that God has given to us today that continues as it did in the first century. And we're going to talk about those miracles in a moment. Well, first of all, he says love never fails. It's never going to go away. Now, the term love there is the word meaning a self-sacrificing love, which always wants the best for others. That's the kind of love that God gave to you and me through Christ. God gave us the greatest gift of all because he loved us. We didn't love him back. He had to come down to where we are. And 1 John chapter 4 says we love him because he first loved us. And so love is the essence of God's nature. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. That's the essence of God's nature. He wants to do right for us. He wants us to be saved eternally. But the prophecies of the speaking in tongues and other things were going to cease. Now, it is prophesied in the Old Testament. Go back to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. It says, in that day, and the day he's talking about is the day of the coming of the Messiah. You go back to chapter 12, and you read through Zechariah, and that's what it's talking about. He says, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. What is the fountain? The fountain is going to be the blood which Christ gave for us. In verse 2, it shall be at that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. In other words, the gift of prophecy, the gift of these other things to cast out demons, were going to be done away. There'd be no more necessity for them. And you think about that, the miracle was to show, in the case, for example, of casting out demons, the purpose of the miracle was to show God's power over any other power, in particular, the power of Satan. And once the superior thing had come and the word of God was confirmed, those things were going to pass out of the way. But what were the tongues of the New Testament? Sometimes you hear people maybe don't have a full understanding of what the Bible says about them. Well, the tongues of the New Testament were not some strange, unknown language that nobody had ever heard before. Some have said, well, it's a heavenly language that God gave to men. Well, that wouldn't do us much good if we didn't understand it. And that's the whole purpose of what Paul is talking about, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But then he said that the tongues, of course, were a human language that the speaker could speak but never had to study or learn it before. It was instantaneously given him by the authority and power of the Holy Spirit. It was given for the purpose of preaching the gospel of Christ to people in other languages that they had not studied before. And so we go back to Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, there were some approximately 17 different nations represented in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And all of them, or most of them, spoke different languages. So how is that problem going to be handled? How could that be done? That the word of God could be preached to all of them that day. Well, God gave them the promise and the gift of tongues to be able to speak in whatever language was there. They were from all over the world that had come to Jerusalem to worship and to observe the feast that was there, the Feast of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 11, when they asked the question, well, what does this mean? Well, he said it goes back to what Joel the prophet had foretold in Joel chapter 2. That this is that which was done. Acts chapter 2 verse 11 says, we hear them speaking in our tongues the mighty works of God. So the people there, it was not some strange language that they didn't understand. The shock to them was they heard these 12 Galileans, and that was kind of a put down in their society because they weren't from Jerusalem. They weren't from the great educated people of the day. They were simply from Galilee. They were able to speak in all of these languages that they'd never studied before. This is a sign. This is a sign from God that this was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. But what about the modern claims? And there are many today who make that kind of claim. But we go back again to Mark chapter 16. It said they received those gifts and they went out and use them. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, it says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings and by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and another discerning of spirits, another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. All of those were given and were demonstrated in the church of Corinth by people who were given each one of these things. Not everyone was given all of these different gifts. Some were given one, maybe two. But the apostles were given all of these. And the apostles were the ones that had the power to lay their hands on someone else and they would receive miraculous gifts. But at this time, in the day of Pentecost, it came directly from God upon the apostles. And that was the promise that Jesus made to them. And so later on, when the apostles laid their hands on others, they could receive miraculous gifts. But it lasted only as long as the final message was not fully revealed yet. There are other explanations, of course, about the miraculous gifts. And one of the questions sometimes asked is, if people have miraculous gifts today, why don't they sit down and write more books for the Bible? Because inspiration is one of the major gifts that was given. And it was given primarily to the apostles and certain prophets of the New Testament to write it for you and me. And of course, there are others sometimes who are sincere in what they believe, but they happen to be sincerely deceived. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13, Paul says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light." So even Satan presents himself as an angel of light, as an angel of God, when in fact he is not. In Proverbs 14:12, the Bible says there that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we have to be very careful when we try to explain things that in the way that the Bible doesn't. We have to be careful about that. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 9 and 10, he says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away." Notice he says, "We know in part and we prophesy in part." If prophecy, a miraculous gift of God, was fulfilled and complete, Paul wouldn't say that. But he says, prophesying is only in part. It's only partial, because the full message of the Word of God had not yet come when Paul wrote this. And so we prophesy in part. It's partial. The final will be the full revelation of God's word to mankind. He says, "But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away." The part, of course, is the partial knowledge. It was temporary. It's a temporary arrangement, so to speak. So as God, over a period of about approximately 50 years, revealed all of the New Testament to his people. It was revealed as Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and the others were written. And they began to be circulated and collected together into what we call the New Testament. And so it was done finally for the purpose of confirming the word, which was the miracle that was done. And when that was done, there was no more necessity for more miraculous. You have to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Paul writing there, and he says that he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of this, for the saints, the working of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave though many of those which are non-miraculous gifts, just the ability and talent in whatever it is to teach or to serve or do whatever other kind of work God provides for us. And he wanted us to do that, and he guides us by the Word of God to understand what those works are and how to carry them out. He didn't continue the miraculous gifts with those particular works. And it says then, when that which is perfect is come. Literally, that word, the term there, means the perfect thing. Some have said, well, the perfect thing that's coming is Christ. Well, that's not what is under discussion right here. It's something that God will send, and when that came, the miraculous gifts would be done away. It's not sinlessness, because we'll never achieve that while this world stands, but it's a spiritual completion in God and in Christ by the way that we live. And Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, Jesus said, "Be therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now think about that. If that were an absolute command there, we would all be lost. There's absolutely no way that could ever happen because we're sinful creatures. But what did Jesus mean by that? The term perfect or complete, which is as good a translation as this, means we are fulfilled and complete in Christ. We've believed the gospel. We have obeyed it. We have been forgiven. We have been added to the body of Christ by the power of God. And we're trying to live a Christian life. And the blood of Christ and the grace of God forgives our sins. That's what he's talking about there. Looking forward, as Jesus was in Matthew chapter 5, to the establishment of the church, the kingdom of God. So what is the perfect thing? We'll turn back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We have one of the explanations there. James chapter 1. And we look there in James chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But, notice verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in his doing. In other words, we look into the perfect, complete law of liberty. That's what God wanted us to know and to understand. We don't have to have miraculous gifts to fulfill that because it's already fulfilled. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now Paul says these miraculous gifts are temporary. It's going to go away. Well, if it was, we couldn't do without those things, they would have to be still here, but they're not. And so he says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and it comes through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which the next passage talks about. And so it's through the knowledge, the understanding. How do we get knowledge? Romans 10:17 says, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, the final warning that is given in the pages of God's word. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. He says, For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. God says this book is complete and fulfilled. We cannot add to it nor take from it. We have to live accordingly. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Paul says and makes the comparison. He says, When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Paul is living at that time in the time of miraculous gifts. And he says there's coming a time. We are now in the childhood stage he was talking about to them. Because they were taking these miraculous gifts and they were being built up in their own false pride and say, well, my gift is better than your gift and I can do more than you can, so that makes me better than you. That was the attitude that the Corinthians had about miraculous gifts. He says, no, you shouldn't. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So the structure of the miraculous gifts is simply to look forward to the completion and fulfillment of the message of the Word of God, which we have, which we talked about there in James and 1 Peter and Revelation. The final revelation is given, and we can neither add to it nor take from it. Verse 12, he says, For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. In other words, when we receive the full completion of the Word of God. Paul says we, talking to the Corinthians, will be able to see face to face the complete message of God. He says, then I shall know just as I am also known. In other words, I will be able to know and understand the full revelation of God to man when that time comes. Paul likens it to the miracles of the childhood and the full, the complete growth. On 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, Paul says, truly, the signs of an apostle were worked among you in all patience by signs and wonders and mighty works. In other words, Paul, there are some in Corinth that did not want to accept Paul as an apostle on the same level as Peter or James or John or the other apostles. Paul says, I'm just as much an apostle as anyone else. He says, truly, the signs of an apostle were worked among you. He says, I'm the one that did it. He says, in all patience, by signs and wonders and mighty works. Paul wasn't bragging about himself. He was simply telling the truth. He came and worked miracles to prove that his message was from God and not from man. Again, that's the purpose, the ultimate purpose of the miracle. Now, certainly, Jesus and the apostles had the miracles of healing and all kinds of things like that. And partly it was done for the purpose of helping and giving people strength and healing and all of those things. And there was a compassion that had to do with also. But the ultimate foundation purpose of the miracle was to prove that their word was in fact the word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul writing to Timothy says that from a child you have known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. How do we gain faith in Jesus Christ? By hearing the word of God. And Paul says that's how you understood, that's how you knew. All scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. We are furnished completely by the message which God has revealed to us in the Word of God. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. He says, now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. That's in contrast to their fighting and arguing over whose miraculous gift was greater than others and who was greater than others because they had this gift or that gift. That's what they were doing. But the complete, mature Word of God comes to us, and ultimately it is governed by the love of God given to you and me. And this passage is in contrast to verses 8 through 11. When that time would come when these things would be done away. But why is love the greatest then? Well, faith is going to be turned into sight. When Christ comes again, we won't have to have just faith that there is a Savior and a Lord. We'll be able to see Him. He will be there. We will be with Him. Hope is going to be realized at the judgment. When we stand before God, if we're faithful, and He proclaims, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't have to have hope anymore because it's there. It's fulfilled. It's realized. But love will endure forever because God is love. He is, that's the essence of His nature, as we said before. In the chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, Paul describes how love regulated the miraculous gifts. And 1 Corinthians, back to verse chapter 12 and verse 7, he says, but to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit for all or for the common good. The miraculous gifts were given for a purpose, to prove that their message was from God, and to prove to them that it was to be used not for personal glory, as many of them are trying to do, but for the purpose of the good of all, the good of the church, the building up of the body of Christ. And that's how we're to preach and teach and serve today. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, let all things be done unto edifying. The word edify means to build up. So they were to use their miraculous gifts, which they were privileged to have during that time, to build up the body of Christ, to build each other up, not to tear each other down. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. Well, they weren't doing, if anything they were doing, that was not it. They were dividing up and said, well, I follow Paul, or I follow Peter, or I follow somebody else. They were dividing the church. They were arguing about whose gift was the greatest and who was the most spiritual. They were fighting and arguing over all those things. Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order. That includes the use of the miraculous gifts that they were given. We're not living today in the time of miraculous gifts that God gave to Jesus and to the apostles and to certain other ones during that time. But we still have the same faith, built upon the same miraculous gifts that were given, proved by those miracles that it was indeed the Word of God. One of those things we have is faith. Romans 10:17, which I've mentioned before, says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Hope, we have hope also. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy begat us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are begotten again by this living hope which comes by faith in Jesus Christ. We also have love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. God loved us enough to allow Christ to die on the cross for you and me. This evening, if there is a need in your life, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come now as together we stand and as we sing.